Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. I wanted to let people know there's a lot going on the planet right now. There's just incredible flyovers in Texas. San Diego is getting buzzed like crazy. And there's other activity as well that we haven't been covering, and it seems to have been kind of brushed aside, but there's some amazing footage coming out, and there's a wonderful contactee that I had the pleasure of talking with, and that's Phil Kosecki. So we're going to welcome Phil Kosecki on the show and see how things are going with Phil. Are you here, Phil?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Now, am I saying your last name right? Is it?
It's actually it's Kosecki. There's an S in there before the K, so it's Kosecki.
Kosecki.
Yeah.
Okay.
Polish.
We'll just call you Phil. How's that?
All right, that's fine.
But
sure.
I was amazed to. I think you contacted us with an email or something. I'm not sure. You called Carrie, one of the people here, and told me your story, and then Carrie forwarded it to me, and then I saw some of the photographs on your site, and you know, it's almost identical to the same thing that we're experiencing here at the ranch, and it seems the same group or. You know, different levels of the same group we're having contact with.
Yes, yes. I felt compelled to contact you because I came to your site. I've known about you for a while, and I felt that there was a similar connection there since you also had mentioned that you were a contactee of some people from Orion. And these beings that have made contact with me over here on the East Coast from these UFOs that I've been videotaping had opened up initially. They opened up first contact with me last July, the end of July and August, and they've been allowing me to film their crafts, triangle crafts, over the past several months. And I got several hours of footage now, pretty amazing footage of these triangle craft performing some pretty amazing and incredible maneuvers in the night sky. As you yourself know, that what these crafts can do, it's just amazing.
Uh-huh. Have you? Can you give out your website now, so maybe people can go to it and look at some of the photographs, and we can talk about that a little later.
Oh man, I am so sorry for this. I just created this website, and it has I don't have my own domain yet, so it's like a MySpace personal website, but anybody can go to it. I mean, the link will still work, but I just didn't. I should have got it down before.
Wait a minute.
I can probably get it down now, I think.
I've got it right in front of me here.
Oh, you do? Great.
Yeah, it's HTTP, you know, and then the dot, double slash, and then it's maxi71959.spaces.live.com/default.
You don't have to go through all the default. You can cut it off at .com and it'll work there.
Okay, so have .com. So anyway, if you go to our website and scroll down to the bottom of As You Wish Talk Radio, you can click on the website right there. And it says Pine Bush, New York contactee, and then we just click on that, and then you can see the some of the photographs that we'll be talking about on the show. So now that we got that covered, some of the photographs I've seen, and I was watching them, they put off the same coronal discharge. They look identically the same, and they have that purplish aura around the ships, the light field, which really caught my eye when I saw that. I go, boy, that's the same group flying over here on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm wondering too now if these two groups are not the same identical aliens from the same system in Orion. And there's a good I have a great feel. They haven't really taken me on board their ships yet in a physical contact, but they have definitely informed me that they are going to be making close contact with me. And right now I'm in an interim period of intense preparation and leading up to these contacts, but I have a very strong feeling that they're from the belt stars of Orion, one of those three belt stars.
Yeah, they've talked a lot to me about that, the system and its origins. Now, there's a lot of misinformation about Orion, and Orion is a very, very big system, and there's
yes.
I mean, everything you're seeing in that Orion system are stars, and there's planets, you know, revolving around those stars. So basically, we need to kind of get over it that whenever somebody says, oh, the people from Orion, those are the negative ones, or, you know, there could be somebody from Orion from a negative, but...
Right, right.
Yeah, that's not been my experience, and I know in J.J. Hertak in the Keys of Enoch talks about Orion is where the true gnosis of God streams forward, and where the Orion Councils lie, and all these master beings reside, you might say, so...
Absolutely. I'm familiar with those keys as well, and I firmly believe that. I think he's had some real revelational contact there with these masters from those inner planes up there. And you know, my study, I've actually, one of the ascended masters, Saint Germain, of that Saint Germain Foundation and that group, are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
In one of these books, they're called the Seven Elohim, and one of them is named Orion, and he's a great god that is an eternal, masterful god and a being that lives in eternity, but he says in one of his discourses, one of these revelational contacts, that there is a spiritual focus in the constellation of Orion where creation is taking place all the time there, that somehow Orion is like a portal from the higher worlds, from like the central sun, which is in the center of our galaxy, and somehow the Creator is using Orion as a focal point of secondary creation to the rest of the galaxy, which is incredible.
And that sounds real similar to what Hertak was saying as well. He calls them the true geneticists, the ones that have full use of creational energies. And he talked a lot about how there's been others that have come since then and have manipulated, you know, genetics down here on the planet. But these are the masters of genetics, you might say, the ones that really know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. What I find really interesting in the Keys of Enoch was what he had to say about Osiris and Thoth and how they built it. They were from Orion. They were masters from Orion, masters of light that dropped down here and took incarnations on the Earth. And they actually built the Great Pyramids. And
yeah.
Yep.
They definitely were. They call them the wing gods.
The netters, yeah.
Yeah, because they flew. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, so you're talking about there's a connection with the pyramids as well? Or?
Yes, sir. Yes. I found, I did a little research after I've been seeing all these triangle crafts since last year and videotaping them, and they happen to be black and a mixture of dark and light gray, all three together, mixture of gray, light gray, and black on their triangle craft. I haven't seen them in broad daylight, but I have seen them when they fly by close at night and they're lit up with their lights. You can make out some pretty remarkable features on the craft. But then I did some research about Egypt, and then I came across some triangular shapes in ancient Egypt, old motifs, you know, like Egyptian motifs that are all over like old stones and old temples and all these kinds of things, pillars and everything. And it shows these little triangular shaped stones that were actually venerated by the Egyptians, and they were called the Benben stone. And they actually created temples to these things, and they actually, in some of these writings in the hieroglyphs, it was mentioned that these stones used to fly around. They were like, they used to glow. They would glow, and they flied around and flew around. And there was depictions of people sitting in them inside these little triangular-shaped stones, which. And I took a look at some of these ancient, like thousands of years old depictions of these stones, triangular stones, and they look all, there's like weird markings on them, circles and everything, which, when I looked at that, and then I looked at the craft that I'm filming in Pine Bush, they look almost virtually the same.
Huh.
It shocked me when I saw that. I said, oh my gosh, I mean, this is a very close, I mean, a very powerful confirmation of what my alien friends in Pine Bush have been telling me and showing me, that, I mean, they told me they were from the Orion system. and it's just amazing. I'm just.
Yeah, they're lined up. The pyramids are lined up with the Belt of Orion. If you look at the way they're laid out, and I guess there's shafts that shoot out straight towards Orion. And I think you were telling me earlier about that in our phone conversation about something about one of the shafts.
Yeah, I think it's the king's shaft. It is the king and the queen. And the king's shaft, I guess, goes to Orion, and the queen's shaft goes to Sirius. And then there's one or two other ones that go to Alpha Draco, Draconis.
Yeah, we'll just kind of close those shafts for now.
Yeah.
But, any big reptiles coming in at the moment.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. It does seem that it seems that whenever you talk about the greys or the reptilian things going on, that it's a real mixed bag. I always call it a real gray area because it seems that some are actually assisting people and people are receiving communication and healing from some of them and getting along fine, and others are hitting the whole other end of the spectrum, and it's a real negative experience. So,
yeah.
Who knows what's going on there? There just seems to be such
I got a picture. When people look in my website, if they go to, I think it's the third photo album, would be January 18th. I just put a new picture in there of a reptilian. A green reptilian that was reportedly killed by a man that was walking his dog in Washington State, where you guys are.
Yeah, yeah.
You heard of this?
Yeah.
Dr. Reed?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I really don't know. Basically, a lot of it doesn't really add up for me because it's really hard for me to think of this. Of some kind of being that has a ship that's probably interdimensional and it doesn't even have an alarm system or protection on it.
Right.
And to take it out with a stick.
Yeah.
Is a little off. But I met that group and one of them I met, it was just really strange. The energy there, they were just all over me trying to, almost force me into agreeing with them that it was real and intense.
Right, right.
And I go, whoa, 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 whoa. I go, back up, man. I said, the truth will stand on its own merit. If it is for real, it'll hang in there, But I said, I don't do evangelism anywhere. not with UFOs or anything else.
Right. Well, I looked at the evidence and everything. I got the book. I read his book and I really believe it. It's a real thing, and I think he had a real encounter with this small reptilian, and I think that this reptilian was all planned. It was all staged. The reptilian came down. He knew it was going to happen. The reptilian actually laid his life down for this as a means of a tool of communication to the human race and for Dr. Reed to get all these pictures and everything, and I think they're real. And from what I understand, this Dr. Jonathan Reed doesn't say this, but I'm getting from my spirit, and I'm getting that this alien was from Orion. He's from the Rigel star, and there is a race of reptilians from Rigel, and they're kind of nasty, but they're not as nasty as the reptilians that come from Draco.
Yeah.
The winged ones.
Uh-huh.
Those ones are ferocious.
Yeah.
They're the ones that I heard that will chew on humans and the ones that are chewing up our cows and spitting them out. Pretty nasty.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard a lot about that. Well, let's go back to the Orion contact.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, yeah.
Now, on your site there, on the last photos there, you've got one of them that, a female, I guess, that is a depiction of kind of a contact or a sighting that you had with the...
Oh, yes. That's not my actual female contact, mm-hmm. but... She is an extraterrestrial,
mm-hmm.
and I just chose her as an example of what they basically look like. They may not look exactly like that,
yeah.
but it's similar to what they look like. And I have seen what they look like, and my contact, her name is Abena. She let me see her several times in dreams before I got my telepathic contact. I just started, after I... And we have to go back to how this all started in Pine Bush so everybody gets a good idea of what happened. But
yeah, that's a good idea. Let's just go back to the beginning on how it all began.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, this all happened for me back, started 14 years ago, where I got a book by my mother, who's into astrology, and she's very into this kind of stuff. And she gave me this book called Silent Invasion by another UFO researcher named Ellen Crystal. Many people probably have heard of her and know her. And after I read this book, I became very deeply interested in the whole UFO field, and I said, well, this Pine Bush is New York. It's right across the couple state over from us. I live in Massachusetts. And so I got my friend who was also interested in all these UFOs, and we took a field trip out there in Pine Bush about 14 years ago in July. And so we got out there, and we started seeing lights in the sky, night sky. And at first, we couldn't pin whether these lights were aircraft or military and all this kind of stuff. But then we started seeing one light pop up just above the tree line over these farm fields. And this light was very unusual. It looked like a horseshoe, and it was bright fire orange red, and it was pulsing on and off, and it had a coronal discharge, like you said, a purplish coronal discharge around a red, fiery, orange-looking horseshoe. And this thing was very close. It was not more than, like, maybe a half a mile away from us. And we just went into shock when we saw this because it stood there for, like, 10 minutes, and it wasn't moving. It was just pulsing on and off, and it wanted us to film it. And my friend had his camcorder, and we got about a three-minute clip of it. Unfortunately, his tape ran out. He didn't have enough videotape, so it ran out. But we did manage to get 3 minutes of it, and it is a shocking piece of footage of alien hardware in the sky over Pine Bush, and that's what really got me interested in it. And so 14 years goes by, and all through the 90s, I studied many different UFO cases and different things like this, but I never made it back to Pine Bush. I don't know why I didn't, but I just didn't get back there. And then I started last year. I've been meaning over the past several, like maybe 3 years, to get back to Pine Bush. I kept saying to myself over the past several years, I'm going to get back there, I'm going to get back there. So last year was the year. And I finally made it back to Pine Bush last July in 2007, and I went out and went to the, started driving around. I parked in these big open farm fields, open spaces where you can see the night sky. It's just, Pine Bush is beautiful. It's almost like being in the desert Southwest because there's no streetlights anywhere, hardly on the roads. So it's like driving in outer space when you're there with your car. It's totally pitch black. So anyway, I'm there out in these wide open fields, and I'm just looking up at the stars, and all of a sudden I see these lights on the horizon, and I know they're the craft because they're shimmering orange lights, and they're just moving at like a snail's pace, very, very slow. And you know they're not conventional aircraft. So I just decided to talk to them, and I said, okay, mentally, and you know, I'm saying mentally, I said, okay, if you're the same kind of beings that were in the craft that I saw 14 years ago that when we filmed you, I said, if you're the same ones, why don't you come over here where I am? And there was two of them, and one of them darted off to the south, and the other one just started to come towards me. And I said, oh, it must be hearing me. So anyway, this craft slowly comes up, and it gets to about maybe a half a mile away from me, a quarter of a mile away from me, and it stops in midair. And I got to zoom in on it with my camcorder, and I just saw an incredible display of magnetic light underneath this triangle craft. And there was like a circle of light, and then it split into two circles, and I saw this intense interplay of like magnetic light waves going back and forth between these two, the circle that split into half into another circle. And I was just so shocked when I saw, I was just amazed when I saw this. And I said, this is definitely This is absolutely extraterrestrial. And I just, my camcorder malfunctioned somehow. It wasn't working. Something got messed up in the programming, the memory or something, and it wouldn't function. So I wasn't able to tape it, which was such a regret. So anyway, that was the end of July. And then after that, I was driving around. Well, I can actually, yeah, then I left. I went back, got back home. And it was like maybe a week after I came back from Pine Bush, I was meditating. I was in a state of deep meditation. And all of a sudden, I just started hearing voice in my head. These sentences kept repeating. And she was, it sounded like a female, and she was addressing me, saying, "Hello, Phil, the blonde girl that you have been seeing in your dreams recently is myself." She goes, "My name is Abena. I'm one of the pilots who fly these triangle craft around Pine Bush. And I was," she says, "I was the one that came near you and stopped in midair and all this stuff and allowed you to zoom in on my craft. And then," she says, "I want you to know that we look like you with some minor variations. We come from Orion, and our ancestors built the Great Pyramid of Giza." And she says, "We know of you, and we were waiting for your return to Pine Bush." And she told me to get ready because she's going to be I'm going to be making close contacts with you. And then she told me about what will make our contacts easier, and she told me to learn how to practice transcendental meditation and all these other things. And she said, "It has to be this way because our brainwave resonance derives from these deep meditational states." And she says, "Without this, no close contacts can happen."
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So what would it, you know, that's the same, pretty much the same message I got. Their frequencies are just, they're much too high for us. And when you come into their fields or their frequencies, if you're not prepared spiritually, you kind of go nuts. It's like it brings everything up, all your fears and unworthiness and
absolutely
guilt and all your hidden things that you've judged yourself about start surfacing very quickly. And you know, a lot of people wonder, you know, why they haven't had contact and they haven't done any preparation for it, and because it probably would be in their highest and best good to have contact.
I wholly agree, and I mean, I've seen this with myself, and if you're not ready, you would feel the great distance between your evolution and their evolution, how much farther ahead they are of you, and you would resent them for it. I found myself doing this with certain ETs, and you would start to resent them, and you would feel like, you know, they were being snobby or something when they really weren't.
Mm-hmm.
They're higher evolved creatures, and they, you know, they're just, they're moving in levels that they have, that, you know, we are still passing through, but their race has totally passed through these things thousands of years ago, and they've like finished those things and learned those things and put on, you know, they've gone on to higher things. And another thing, that the reason why many people, I want to say this tonight to many people out there that are longing for extraterrestrial contact, it's not that these beings do not want to make contact with you. They do. But like James says, we have to prepare for it. And they have certain criteria that they will not break. And they want, and the whole reason they contact people like James and myself is for the reason so they can divulge this criteria to others, so that the others can be brought into a state where they can prepare for contact. And I know for a fact that those that are open and those that are willing to listen and to up their vibration by learning about universal law, by learning about creational laws, by learning about transcending our passions and our material state, I know that by doing this, we make ourselves comfortable to the aliens, and they will respond to us more and more and more. They will give us more and more. The more we turn to the spirit, the more we turn to the light and to the practice of transcendence, because that's what everything's all about, the more the aliens will turn to us. And this is an absolute fact, and they will never, ever break it, because it's a universal law. It's something that's just the way it is. And I just challenge everybody who feels that they might be left behind, or they feel that they're, you know, the aliens are cheap or they're stingy. I challenge you to prove what I'm telling you about this and see what happens. And just, I'm not guaranteeing a contact, but I'm guaranteeing that the aliens, you'll get better sightings. Sightings will become closer. And it's just a matter of time also, because we are coming to a time where the aliens are going to come down here in a major way, I believe. And they're making the first movements towards this.
Yeah, it seems like, I always like to refer to them as the greater family of man or off-worlders, but basically they're our ancestors, and they're returning now to assist us in this major transition, this I call the quantum leap in evolution that we're going through. And I like what Michal Ledwith said. You know, he said it's not up to them to come down and pick us up and save us or anything else. It's up to us to rise to the occasion, to rise up and to the contact. And, you know, he made it really clearly. He said, why do we think it's their problem? You know, we're the, he goes, we're the ones with the problem.
That's right. We evolved. Our spirits have gotten stuck here on Earth. Their spirits originated elsewhere. They're far, much, much farther ahead than us. Mm-hmm. Some of them are us. Some of them, you know, may have lived with them before, and they're down here on certain missions, and they're helping. And so those people like that undoubtedly are going to be contacted and given very, very close classified information that isn't given to normal people, Earth people. And, you know, this could sound very snobby, or it could sound almost, what's the word, clandestine? I don't know if that's the right word, but...
arrogant or something.
What?
Arrogant or...
Egotist,
you might say.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But it's not, it's by no means that. But the proof is going to happen, and the proof is happening. And the proof is that they love us so deeply. And I just want to say that my contacts, and they haven't even come into a totally physical contact yet where I've been taken on the ships physically. But every time I go back to Pine Bush, it's the emotional state of my connection with these aliens is like, it's like being married or something. I mean, true marriage love with somebody that you love and who cares about you. And it is just overwhelming. The last several times that I've been there, I had such an emotional, powerful release and a connection with these beings, and they let me know how much they cared, and I just felt this overwhelming love coming. And it was such a healing and a releasing type of feeling coming to me that I just felt elated for days afterwards and lightheaded. It was just so incredible. And this, I have to say this, my most recent trip I took out there was just before Christmas. It happened to fall on the winter solstice, of all things. I went out to Pine Bush, and everything was totally unexpected about what happened. First of all, it had recently snowed and rained in Pine Bush the day before when I went out there. It was on a Friday, December 22nd.
Hey, Jan. Yeah. So, how are we doing this evening?
Good. I think we got a caller here.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Pardon?
I did want to finish that.
Yeah, can you hang on just a second? Let him finish the sentence.
You bet. I'll hold on.
Okay.
And so, it was December 21st. Anyway, I got out there, and it snowed and rained the day before. I went out to the area where I filmed, and I stood out there for like 45 minutes looking to see if any of the craft would appear. Nothing was happening, though. I figured, oh, well, they must be very busy. You know, it was still cloudy, and they may not like to fly around in the clouds so much in the inclement weather. So I went to leave the area where I filmed after waiting for a half hour out there, and I went to back out, and I got stuck on the ice in the snow there on this driveway where I film on this field area, and the back of the car got stuck right at the edge of Route 52, which is the main road going to Pine Bush, and the back of the car could have easily gotten clipped if people were driving recklessly or whatever. So anyway, I got stuck. So I remember I had brought salt. I had brought salt and a shovel in the trunk, put them in there. So I went to get them out and salt the ground under the tires around there and dig it out a little bit. So I did. I went to do that. I did it, put the salt back in, and then I went to open to get in the car and try and back out or pull out. And I found I got locked out. I locked myself out. The keys were in the car. My cell phone was in the car. And I just started to freak out. I started flipping out. And because I was like 3 miles from Pine Bush Center, I had no phone. It was certainly going to cost me a fortune to get a tow truck down there or anything else. And I started to, after about 5 minutes of just freaking out in a material way, I started to calm down and think rationally. I said, wait a minute, I got to pray. I have to pray, and I have to talk to my alien friends. So I started to do that. I prayed. I prayed to God, and then I asked my alien friends if they might be able to help me out. And it wasn't more than 2 minutes. All of a sudden, over on the tree line to the west, I see one of these large triangle crafts just come cruising in. It was just hovering, just cruising in over the trees, not maybe more than 100, 200 feet above the ground. Uh-huh. And the craft just kept going by, and it didn't stop, but it just kept by. And as it passed, all of a sudden I heard the car doors open.
That's pretty good.
And I was so thankful and so amazed, and I just know that they heard me, of course, and they know all about me, and they know everything that's happening, and they're monitoring me.
Yeah.
And they saved me. They rescued me that night. I was certainly cooked. If they didn't come and do that, I would have to have paid a fortune to get out of that mess, you know, to break into the car and have somebody open it, to get a tow truck or get, you know, have somebody do that. Would have cost me quite a fortune.
We've got a caller on the line. Let's
yeah, sure, go
still
ahead.
With us? One of our callers still with us. Hello?
Hi there.
Hold them off. Let's hold off the callers just probably till the last 15 minutes or so. And then so we can go further into this. So anyway, they saved your butt and
yep.
Unlocked your doors. And gave you that wonderful feeling that you are being watched over and validated, you know, the connection, which is awesome.
Oh, it was. I mean, because I was, like, freaking out. And then after that happened, I went to another area, which was safe to park, of course, on dry pavement. And it was another area where I usually film the craft. So it's called South Searsville Road. And I went down there. I got out. And all of a sudden on the tree line, I think it was the same craft. But it just started shimmering over the tree line, and I figured, oh, well, now I can film. So I was able to, I got out, got the camcorder out, and I started filming it. I got about half a minute of this beautiful triangle craft just shimmering like a Christmas tree. The lights were red and green. I think they purposely did it for Christmas, you know, because it was like Christmas.
Yeah.
And the lights were red and green, and I thought, wow, they must be doing this as a Christmas gift. So, I started filming, and I got about 30 seconds of it, and then my tape, somehow moisture got in the camcorder because it was so cold out, I guess, and the tape stopped at 30, you know, like half a minute. But what I got was incredible. I got this triangle craft shimmering red and green, And then right at the very end, just before it gets cut off, you see the craft open up some kind of, it changes its lights in some way, and all of a sudden it projects a blue square beam right above the craft. And I got that, if people go to the website, they can see that picture. It's in one of the albums there. I think the January 18th one. But it's quite amazing.
They did a thing here where it's quite interesting. The ship was flying over, you know, pretty high, and it did that big discharge, you know, where they light up and they send out that purplish coronal discharge or bluish purple. And then as it was coming over, it lit up. And the weirdest thing is we're on the ground, and there was, you know, when you see a beam going between you and an object or a flashlight or whatever else, you can see this big, long beam between things. Well, there was no beam anywhere, but everybody on the ground just lit up. All of our faces lit up. It was amazing, but it was like they took light and bilocated it or something. I have no idea how they did this, but they lit all of us up on the ground, and we were just elated. Everybody got real excited and everything.
Wow.
But there was no beam between the ship and us. It was the strangest thing I'd ever seen.
No, that's amazing. It's amazing what they can do, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
With their lights, I'm so totally shocked at how fast. And some of my video footage, I've got several hours now since like three or four trips out there now. I got like three hours total of video footage. And what the craft do in the video is just dumbfounding. It's stunning to me. In some of this footage, you see the craft moves so fast, it's making these zips and zigzags here and there, and it does it in like a split second. In 1 minute, you see it right at the top of the video screen. The next second, it's down at the other end, and then it's here, there, man. And when you see them do it in a consistent pattern where you see the light and you can see the tracer, you can actually see the outline of the triangle craft and how fast it's going. And many times, these triangle craft will mimic airplanes before they put on their strobe lights and take off the, they'll mimic and like an airplane, and they'll be riding in the Earth atmosphere without putting on their, I guess the term would be riding the magnetic waves. There's times when they'll put the craft on, I guess, the magnetic field, and they'll just bounce around on that magnetic field. At other times, they can turn that off so it looks like they're just riding through space and they look like a regular Earth plane. Mm-hmm. They do this. Many people say, oh, they're being deceitful and mean. You know, I said, no way. They're being careful, because if they were to fly around on the magnetic field of Earth, just bouncing around all the time, it would cause an incredible paranoia over the countryside. You know, come on, all these hicks out there in the countryside, they would freak out if they saw these triangle craft. They would think they were being invaded.
We have a lot of that here. They do. We call it side slipping. They slip side to side, and when they're flying, they're like waving. And sometimes when they come over, they do this real exaggerated wave, like side to side.
Oh, that's exactly what they do in Pine Bush.
Yeah, and then they power up. Sometimes they go kaboom, and everybody gets excited, you know. And I call it dazzle duty, you know. They're just showing us that they're here.
That is quite an amazing thing to see, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what else is amazing is I've had people come on from Mexico.
Yes.
And they've been Peru as well, and they're having incredible sightings there.
Oh, tell me.
And the same information. These beings are connecting with our from Orion. They're deeply concerned with where we're going as a civilization and what we're doing, you know, to each other and the planet. And
now, who are these contacts that you know down there?
I'd have to go back and look. I've had.
Is it six? Have you heard of Sixto Paz?
Yeah, I have. This is a different group.
It is. Okay.
It's a whole different. And I've also talked to some of the Rama people down there too.
They're wonderful. Those people.
Yeah.
I from what I understand, those beings that they are in contact with are from Moreland, or something called Moreland, the Ganymede, one of the moons of Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
But they also claim that they originated in Orion as well.
Yeah. There's always these Orion connections that are coming up over and over again. And there's some groups over there that are having contact with beings from Orion, and it's interesting. The people that they are contacting that I've interviewed and talked to are very heart-centered people. They're people that really care about humanity, Earth.
Mm.
And I know that's exactly why they were contacted, you know, because they have a very high degree of integrity. They have an open mind, you know, a pure heart, and they really want to serve, which seem to be all the prerequisites of contact.
Absolutely. And absolutely. And see, I always like to think, you know, I never heard much about any contact from Orion down through the years, especially during the 90s. It was all on the Pleiadians or the Venusians or the this and that. And I said, well, save the best for last, you know. And that's how I think it is with the Orions. I think they're an incredibly advanced. And any civilization that has built the Great Pyramids and what this all entails and what all those pyramids were created for, you know, we're going to get the full story here about all the pyramids and what's happening. And from what I understand, my aliens have been leading me in a telepathic way to certain books about Orion and about what happened. And there's an excellent book that I've just been led to by my aliens, and it's called, back in October I got this book, it's called The Orion Prophecy,
uh-huh,
by Patrick Garrell.
Okay.
And it's an incredible book about what's going on, how the pyramids were aligned with Orion, and how the pyramids were built also in alignment with the central star of Orion, with these star shafts, and why they did it, and how 2012 plays into this, and how the starlight is going to, from one of these Orion stars, is going to fall through one of these star shafts, the King star shaft or something, in 2012. And it foretells or forebodes that a tremendous cataclysm is drawing near to the Earth, which is a polar shift, a polar reversal of the Earth's magnetic axis, and how a certain retrograde, and they did all this research about how there was 10,000 years ago, there was a similar reversal at that time when Atlantis went down and was wiped out, and supposedly there was this retrograde alignment with Venus above Orion, and now this same transit that was mapped by the ancient astronomers of Egypt is going to happen again, only this time Venus is going to be to the right of Orion, not the left.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be something similar that's going to happen. There is going to be this pole shift, I guess, that's going to happen.
Yeah, they've been giving us the same information that, you know, get ready, hang on, that they talk about different things. They said something wonderful is going to happen, but they said not everybody's going to be around to see it because they're not preparing, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically. And the Earth is going to go through a major transition, a major healing. And it's worth hanging out for, because on the other side of this is full-blown contact with all these other beings. And they're telling me it's just as fast as some of the destruction comes, the healing will come, and the restoration will come. So it's going to be some amazing times. We just have to get through this little interim period that we're dealing with.
Yeah, and with people like you and me, and we're getting information, and we're helping others, and others are going to benefit through this, and it's going to help prepare us. All, and we need it. We need each other. We're like no man's an island. We're being called to, this is what I'm getting. We're going to be actually compelled to start dealing, sharing with each other and dealing with each other more and more. And we're not going to be able to skirt anything anymore. I mean, for too long, the human side and the human self has been skirting their duties, evading certain things, evading people, evading issues, just burying them under the rug as if it doesn't matter. And then everybody just keeps going on in their own way, their own misguided ways. It's like everybody thinks, you know, they're independent and nobody needs anybody. And so you got to do it yourself. There is a sense of personal responsibility. But we are also our brother's keeper, which, you know, is taught out of the Bible, which is, I believe, is a very valid principle that, you know, we are of one flesh and one blood, and the Creator created us all, and the Creator wants us to have a certain sense of responsibility to each other, and it's just beautiful. I mean, all the great masters like Christ and Osiris and Krishna and all these other, Buddha and all these other great beings have come down to help us, and if we would just take and study their scriptures and study those teachings and really apply them, you know, I know you do, and I know I'm trying to do it the best I can.
You know what they told me is very, very simple. They said we need to transcend all, you know, culture and religious beliefs, and, you know, get beyond that and realize that, you know, we're all born of the same spirit, and we all came from the same source. We're all going to return to the same source, and we're just, you know, we're just, we picked up a multicolored earth suit, you know, we're all spirits, you know, inhabiting these little earth suits running around, and it's time we start focusing on the spirit, you know, the God within the individual. You know, they talk a lot about omnipresence, how you can't separate yourself from God or your neighbor or creation. And they said that in their evolutionary process, they evolved to a level of just pure service. They're just, they serve creation wherever creation is, needs the most help. And right now, I think, you know, we're probably one of the planets in most need of help right now than anywhere else in the universe.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got a lot of trouble down here, and a lot of division, a lot of strife, a lot of things that, you know, it's going to take. That's why we're getting the cataclysms periodically. These cataclysms come and they purge the earth of the ones that want to go forward and the ones that want to hold on to the past, and they have to go down. They have to go down, and this is going to happen again.
Well, I always tell people, let's say if you're this great God and you came here and you go, boy, this place is a mess, I need to clean things up, what would you use to do it? Nature, you know?
Good point.
Yeah, you would have full use of creational energies, and you would utilize nature to do what's necessary to clean the planet up. And the problem is that we've gotten so far out of touch with nature. You know, our hearts become so hardened, and we live our lives in these little cubicles, and, you know, we live from check to check and pop on the boob tube and drink beer and watch football games. And,
oh, I hear you.
You know, compete, and we don't even know how to cooperate or work together in the highest and best good of the whole. But that whole program, what I've been told, is just coming down. It's crashing right now. This whole old paradigm that we're in is just falling apart, and what we need to do is go with the flow and adjust and start creating a new paradigm, you know, which is living in harmony with each other and the planet.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's high time that this be enforced upon, that it be given a major platform.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, it's not going to happen until most people are screaming in pain because of the adverse effects of karma, and the adverse effects of negative karma builds up, and just they start to receive the reaction of all their rebellion and their,
uh-huh,
I should say collectively our rebellion, because I'm part of my flesh is just as guilty as anybody else's.
Well, they told me that, and this is what's interesting, this totally lines up with a lot of the Mayan prophecies.
Yep.
But they said that basically that there would be a time of transparency where we're in that right now, where everything was going to become transparent and nothing hidden. You know, everything's going to be right up for everybody to look at. And now we're going through the phase of, I mean, the transparency phase or the lifting phase is still happening, the uncovering phase. But as we're going into this, we're moving more into both an action phase and a phase where the karma is coming around full circle, where it's being accelerated as well. So there's a real quickening in that arena as well. So, you know, I asked them about tyranny. I go, what do we do with this? I mean, it is so sick, and people are so brainwashed, and they're following this terror program and all these other, you know, games that are going on. They're just not getting it. And they talked a lot about a frequency and a force that's pressing hard on the earth, moving through the unified field, And it's coming from within everyone and everything, and pushing everything to the surface, and, you know, creating the quickening of the karmic loop, all of that.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, and they said great God beings are involved in this, and all the star systems and, you know, our star nations, all of them are all involved in this, other kingdoms as well, to create this major shift that we're going through. And basically they said that the tyranny, the age of tyranny, is in its death throes. It's just going out. And you know, we all have a little bit of tyrant in us. We all have some
absolutely
some old wounds and traumas and angers and frustrations.
Surely.
And I'm seeing that coming up in everybody. But the biggest of all tyrants I've seen are just getting hammered with these new energies. And I think a lot of them you're going to see either dropping from their own karmic repercussions, you know, the reaction to their actions, or their physical bodies are just going to fail them, you know, because they can't.
Absolutely. You know, I think there's a prophecy that talks about that. I mean, Christ said it. He said that he said the sea and the waves would be roaring before the time of his return. And then he said the sea and the waves would be heaving themselves beyond their bounds. And then he said men's hearts would begin to fail them for fear of what's going to be happening on the earth.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, you know, that there would be signs in the heavens. This could be UFOs, could be our sons and our brothers and sisters from other planets.
Comet homes, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, if that's not a sign, I think people are definitely not paying attention on that one. Because they talked about, you know, the blue kachina is coming, you know, and it's the last warning before, you know, the red kachina, which is the great purifier. I have no doubt at all that comet homes was a major sign, and it is the blue kachina.
Yeah, I heard something about this blue star.
Yeah.
Is that, that's the red kachina?
No, the blue star is,
it's
I believe,
blue.
Comet Holmes. And that's the one that's saying, okay, from here on out, it's like the warning saying, you know, get your act together, get your consciousness in order, you know, get your relationships together, you know, and get real clear. Because from here on out, the major, the red star is the major, where everything just starts hitting the fan, kind of.
Oh, my God. Now that you're telling me this about the red kachina, I've been doing a little research on Planet X.
Yes.
And it happens to be, I think, a red.
Exactly.
A red body, and it could be, maybe Planet X is part of the kachina, red kachina prophecy.
You know, that's what I've always felt. And it is coming in right around, you know, 2011. It's going to
be
a major flyby, so.
If that's all we need now. I mean, we're already getting this polar reversal, these new magnetic, I've just seen it in the paper since like December 14th. The scientists, the astronomers have seen a new wave of magnetic sunspots has started on the sun, and they said they're going to peak right around 2011 and 2013.
Yeah, there's more than one event. I'm getting that this solar cycle 24 is going to be enormous, and that's going to be taking out the grid and a lot of the, you know, the cell phones and ATM cards, things aren't going to
break down our communication.
Yeah, and then after that comes through, we're going to have the, you know, definitely just the whole system's going to be going down. So we just have to start building a new system that more is more aligned with, you know, humanity and the Earth and more closer to nature.
This is exciting, though, isn't it?
Oh, I'm all for it, you know.
Oh, I'm just exhilarated through this.
You know,
I have never been happier in my whole life ever. I mean,
yeah.
Anybody, since I came out of these contacts, my happiness every time I go to these contacts is just increased. And it's just, you know what it's like.
Every morning I've been waking up and having, you know, communications. Every morning I wake up looking forward to this, going, yeah, let's get on with it. Let's get this planet turned around and healed and get to the next, you know, the next program here. Because I really want to start hanging out with my other friends, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring them in. Well, you know, we're about out of time here. Is there anything else you want to say in parting?
Well, I guess we pretty much covered it. I guess I could say a little bit about my filming when I'm out there. I'll say this. If people want to go out to Pine Bush, if you're open, I'll say this much. If you're open and you go out to Pine Bush, you're almost guaranteed to see something, because they respond to people that have faith, people that believe in their existence.
Mm-hmm.
but they will mask themselves. I've seen it. They'll mask themselves and shut themselves up against those that, like, I went to one of these MUFON meetings in Pine Bush with all these people, and I started to point out, we went out after one of these MUFON meetings there, and they were all complaining and griping and bitching against other UFO researchers and amongst themselves, and then I tried to point out some lights that I thought, well, might be them, and they said, oh, no, those are just airplanes, and then I said, oh, okay, you already made up your mind, all right.
Yeah.
But they get very turned off when they see people out there like that, and they'll close themselves up amongst those people, and they will appear, they will let their craft just appear as airplanes to them. But to other people that are open, they will open up. They will, then they will start to demonstrate what they're capable of doing, and they won't disappoint people, and they won't disappoint you.
I think it's attitude is everything. That's the bottom line. I've seen this over and over again that that they, you know, people come up here with a really bad attitude. It kind of ruins it for everybody else. I tell them, if you don't really have an open mind or loving heart, stay home.
Mm.
You know, although we have had multiple, you know, physicists come up here and even Air Force base commanders and things like that, and they have shown themselves to them just to give it legitimacy. But other than that, you know, it's very important to get your consciousness together and be in the right frame of mind, or they will just kind of cruise by and you'll never have the experience. But we're out of time here. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll have you on again, especially if you take any more trips, be sure and contact me.
Oh, absolutely.
And get any more footage or anything new up. But we're out of time. Can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
All right.
Sign off, and we'll do it again soon.
Very good, James.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
This is James Gill with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Open your heart, open your mind, send it out, and wait for contact. Have a great evening. Good night.